And I am Pat Shea.
And we are just 1 week away from our Funny Parents live show.
Yes. And if you happen to be in the New York City area, boy, would we love to see you on October 17th at 5 p.m. Not the 15th at 7 p.m. October 17th at 5 p.m. at QED Astoria. The show is free. You just have to register through Eventbrite, which you can link to from the QED website or from our site, funnyparentspodcast.com.
Or it's also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/funnyparents. Again, tickets are free, reservations are required, and it is vaccination required because it is New York City standards.
Yeah.
That to enter a theater, you must be vaccinated. Please come down. We would so love to see you.
Absolutely.
And our lineup is killer.
It's amazing.
Ophira Eisberg, Kate Tellers, Kate James, Steve Waltine, Mike Brum.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It is. It's going to be really funny.
Yeah.
Grab some parent friends and come on out. Speaking of parent friends, we have to give a massive shout out to South Windsor, Connecticut.
Yes. Yes. We saw there was this town that was, you know, just a lot of people seem to be listening, or one person is listening to multiple or several episodes again and again and again.
Like hundreds again and again.
One way or another. It was really cool to see you on the stats page, and hope you enjoy it and keep listening.
Please. Thank you. And thank you for spreading the word in your community. But speaking of listens, we are just 4,000 listens away.
On the precipice.
100,000 listens. Ah, that's crazy.
And we just can't thank you enough.
Truly.
You know, honestly, we started this podcast in the first year, I think we had 450 listens in the year. And it was like, okay. And then
it slowly grew.
After it had been sitting out for like 2 years, suddenly we started getting these notes from the service that hosted it. And it was like, wait a second, people are listening. And we're so grateful that.
And then COVID kicked in. So we kicked back in.
Yeah.
And we are so excited to get to that 100,000 mark.
Yes.
That we are doing a giveaway.
That's right.
Our first giveaway. We are going to give away a $50 gift card to a wonderful website called John's Crazy Socks.
Yeah.
John's Crazy Socks. Now,
you'll never guess what they sell.
Truth.
Yeah.
But any kind of sock you or your children are into, dinosaur soccer, of course we go with soccer, but any sort of thing, holiday socks. This is a great chance to get, you know, cute little holiday time socks for the entire family. Now, John's Crazy Sock is also an amazing organization because it was founded by a father and his Down syndrome son.
Mm-hmm.
And so they created this website. It has grown and grown and has gone on to employ many more young folks with disabilities who are working to make this company amazing and great. And this is Disability Awareness Month, so we're raising that up. And the only way you can win this coveted $50 to John's Crazy Socks,
$50 of socks, is
join our mailing list.
Yes. It's that simple. If you go to funnyparentspodcast.com, right up on the top, you'll see contact and mailing list. Click on that. And we'd love to, and you know, we're honestly just not organized enough to be emailing you on a super regular basis.
We try
and get the journaling pages out once a month. And
if
something's up, like a live show, and we're hoping to do live shows around the country, so if we're coming to your area, that would be a chance for us to let you know.
Yes, I promise we will not be annoying. But to win this through the month of October, join our mailing list. And on November 1st, we will do a drawing to pick a listener to get the gift certificate to John's Crazy Socks, which you will get wonderful socks for you and your family and support a great business.
Yeah. $50 does go a long way.
Because it sucks.
On that site. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of socks are like $6.99 or like expensive ones are like $9.99. So we're very excited And please join our mailing list and get those socks.
And should we
turn our focus?
The stories. And we have multiple stories.
Yes, this is a double.
Exactly. It is, however, collected around a theme of travel and travel and families. So in a little bit, we're going to hear from our friend Yvonne Landry, who we knew back in Chicago. And
then moved to New Orleans and opened up a comedy club there and is now currently in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And she runs the Superhero Training Center there, which is one-of-a-kind professional-level training right there in Atlanta with some – and she gets folks from around the world to come to teach and make her training academy amazing. Yeah. But we're going to hear a little bit from her about going to Portugal.
Yes.
With her children.
In a little bit. First, though, we're going to hear from Gary Rudorin. And Gary Rudorin is a founding member of the Annoyance Theater in Chicago. He is also a licensed architect, also an author, author of the book Comedy by the Numbers. There's kind of nothing Gary hasn't done, including he was the architect, if you happen to go to the Toy Store Camp, which is just a one of a kind sort of place. He was the original company architect for camp, which is extremely, extremely cool. And he is going to share with us a story of raising twins when you have to uproot your life and move to Israel. Have a listen.
You know, I've got lots of stories to tell. I've got 14-year-old twins.
Oh, my God.
There's no shortage of stories, to be sure.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, just having twins, I mean, we went through a whole process to have the kids, and we were having trouble like a lot of couples. Mm-hmm. So finally, when we had twins, it was a big special thing. The twins are, I used to joke that twins are like cleavage. Like you guys want to stare at it, but and be amazed by it. But you're supposed to look away. Like we would just have, when I would walk the kids around in a double stroller, we'd get people just coming right up and being excited by it. Just that there were two of them. And of course, because I'm a little bit of an older dad, I got, isn't it so great? Grandpa's taking you out for a walk.
I know.
Welcome to the streets of Brooklyn. Mean streets. well-meaning church lady streets.
Right.
Just get amazed that I was out walking my own children.
Oh, God.
But it was exciting. And I was psyched to have twins. And it was also at a time when I wasn't working full time. So I got to spend a lot of time with them and do everything. So we had these twins, and when you have twins, it feels like the rules are different than just a single baby. I mean, people would people ask Jody in the elevator, just in an elevator, strangers in the elevator would say, "So was it a cesarean?"
Oh my God. Like,
yeah, one lady just asked that. And in Brooklyn, we'd walk down the street and people would stare at us. It's, you know, it was a little both this weird mix of pride and paranoia walking around with twins. But they're also, I mean, I was married, so they weren't the chick magnet you would think. But but it was a lot of fun. And I wrote this thing about teaching the kids laughing lessons. And I would have them, like, you guys have probably done this as parents. I mean, when they were babies on the bed and I'm like tickling them and trying to establish eye contact in them, did this like teaching them how to laugh. I thought I'd be like, I'm going to teach my twins how to laugh no matter what. And I did this whole thing like, ha ha, hee hee, ho ho. And I'm sure that in therapy from years from now, they'll be wondering about some giant. But I did think of my twins as kind of tiny young Frankensteins that I could experiment with. I for a long time, tried to, well, I tried to get them to learn who's on first because I figured this would be a great bit to be at parties, like bring them out. And then I realized I was maybe going to be a little bit like Mozart's dad, but they resisted it. And they really, they actually brought up some interesting questions. Like, why are they having that conversation? But they almost in, at 5 years old, they're almost like analyzing it. Like I showed it to him several times. I wrote out the script. I actually transcribed the script for Who's On First to get them to do it. And no, one of my other bits with them, I would, whenever we went into the city, like through the tunnel, I would teach one of them to say, how are we ever going to get out of here? And then the other one would say, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Oh. This was all for my sick amusement. Of course. And then several years later, they realized it and they just rebelled against, and I'd hear from the backseat, I'm not saying it, Daddy. I'm not saying it. So then that's when I felt like Mama Rose a little bit. But to this day, my son Lev is 14. They're both 14. Sorry. But Lev in particular, I need to now get him to scale back on his bits. Like I did create a little bit of a monster. He is. And then the other day he just said to me, can't you tell that my response to everything is trying to be funny? In a psychological way, like if something is upsetting him, he just goes to trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm saving up for therapy, but I don't know about you guys, doing bits with my kids was one of my favorite things about them growing up. And I once created a, like when they start to dress themselves, they in their own pajamas, I would then come into the room and I'd be like, did you get yourself dressed or do you have a ghost butler? Is there a ghost butler in here who's getting you dressed? And I'd pretend to look around the room over everything and they would giggle. And, you know, as a needy comedian, I'm sort of like, oh, they're laughing at this. I'll keep going. So, you know, then it just got shortened to where's the ghost butler? And they would just laugh. And then I stopped doing it for a while. And then they'd request the ghost butler bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I need to dial back myself, I guess, but, they were, you know, I don't know about you guys as parents from that in that way, but you know, my choice was almost always to try to get a laugh out of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, teach them lessons and teach them how to wipe their butt and stuff like that too. But, so I mentioned before that, or maybe I mentioned before, I don't know. The kids were little. We lived in Brooklyn for a while. I left Chicago, moved to Brooklyn with my wife about a year later. So we had the babies, the twins. And then about 5 years after that, my wife, who is a journalist, got a job as the Jerusalem bureau chief for the New York Times.
Right.
Which was a pretty big job. Mm-hmm. So I quit my job, my architecture job, actually, and I stopped teaching at the Magnet Theater, and we packed up and moved to Beverly, Jerusalem. And it was a really interesting, if you have an opportunity to have a big change in life at age 49, go for it, because it can be invigorating. And we met some great people, but we moved there. I didn't really speak Hebrew. I started going to Hebrew school there. The kids went to an international school where they didn't learn Hebrew, but they did get to meet kids from all around the world. My daughter's best friend was a young girl who had grown up mostly in Nairobi. Wow. Now was living in Jerusalem, and her parents were Russian and American. Wow. So, I mean, they wouldn't meet kids like that just sitting around in a Brooklyn kindergarten. We felt pretty lucky about that.
Yeah.
Sip of water. Mm-hmm. But it was just a really interesting experience to be in another country. And also it's humbling. I didn't really speak the language. Like I said, one of the early times we were on the playground, my son is on some swing and these other kids start yelling at him, die, die, die.
Oh my goodness.
sounds like, oh my goodness, he comes running to me and saying, Daddy, those kids want me to die. Now, die in Hebrew means stop. So he had just been on the swing too long and they wanted to get on the swing. They wanted him to stop already. So of the few Hebrew words I knew, I was like, they don't want you to die. Don't worry about it. It, of course, didn't help if over the 3.5 years we were there, there were at sometimes bomb sirens that went off. And yeah. So it was definitely a crazy time. My wife covered 2 wars in Gaza and a couple of elections. But people would say, was it safe? Was it safe? I would feel so scared. I didn't. I mean, my car was broken into 4 times in Brooklyn. So Jerusalem was a piece of cake compared to that. Well, it's a complicated place in the world, but I think it was a great experience to get kids. We were able to travel from there to get kids traveling to places.
Yeah.
We went to Jordan. We went to Egypt. We went to Crete. We got to go to parts of Europe.
Wow.
So it was an easier jumping off point. And do they remember most of it? No, because they were 5, 6, 7. But luckily, right. I took about a gajillion pictures to show them.
You need proof. You need proof.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And all that proof showed up in their B'nai Mitzvah montage. They were Bar Mitzvah last November. Uh-huh. My big job was putting together a montage, which if you've read stories about, I don't know, I want to say Francis Ford Coppola cutting The Godfather, or I mean, I went through thousands of pictures to get there. Speaking of bits, so one of the things that I would do every year on January 1st, I would film them when they started to talk. I would film them saying Happy New Year. And the first one, which would have been like 2009 or 2010, they're shoving macaroni into their mouth and you can barely, it's like, Happy Macaroni and Cheese. And then the next year they were having popsicles and you just, so I filmed them literally every year. Uh-huh. And I used all that footage, snippets from all that footage for their Bar Mitzvah, B'nai Mitzvah montage, which was fun, right up until when they were 12 and saying Happy New Year. And then my daughter's like, I'm never doing this again. Don't ask me. I'm done. So you really kind of get to see them grow that way. That was, I have to say a little unhumbly, that was one of my favorite bits. And I hadn't planned it when they were 2 and I was filming them. I just thought it'd be funny.
Yep.
And then it became like, oh yeah, I should do that for the montage.
Yeah.
But we got them. I also got them in Jerusalem and Egypt saying Happy New Year. And from, you know, hopefully they'll remember me and change my diapers when I'm older. That's, we'll see.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Isn't that what all parents want? You want your kids to at least agree, listen, when I'm really old, will you change my diaper?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly the thing. Yeah.
Thank you for the validation. So there was one, I will segue a little bit into one of my favorite little stories just from being parenting overseas, which was because we moved there for Jody's job. One day, Lev, my son, is hanging out with Jody, and he said to her that he really needed to learn. He's like 6 years old. He says, Mommy, I really need to learn how to sweep and do dustpan. I'm like, okay. And Jody said to him, why? And he said, because when I get older, mommies have all the big jobs and daddies do the cleaning. So I took that as a little bit of role modeling pride, that he noticed that I was cleaning. Of course, cut to age 14 and he won't pick up his fucking socks anywhere. I'm not sure that lesson got absorbed totally, but the important thing, I love it because my wife did have a big job and I love the fact that, you know, the kids knew it, and I was happy to be support. But the kid, you don't know what kids are noticing, what really they really absorb after a while. And that's an eternal fascination. Like I said before about my kids watching TV, they've either watched so much TV that they now understand what sitcom tropes are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I stopped trying to teach them how to be funny. Mm-hmm. But they're starting to get it all by themselves.
Oh,
and again, hopefully they'll change my diapers in a few years.
Absolutely.
That's,
I do joke about that with them, by the way. And Lev will say, yeah, Shane is going to do that. Not me.
At least he's transparent. I mean, having one baby is hard. Having two babies in Israel.
Yeah.
You know, a new, brand new culture, brand new world to get used to and acclimated to.
Yeah.
With two little people who are exactly the same age, clawing for everything.
Resources.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing. And I also do want to give a shout out to Gary. Gary is also a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And like so many teachers, has soldiered on through this pandemic. And he had the most amazingly beautiful architecture classroom in New Jersey. And Hurricane Ida destroyed it. So we are sending our warm wishes to Gary so that he can build that beautiful classroom back up and continue to share his vast, vast knowledge with kids. And he does it with humor because, gosh, you just can't not like him. He's just so nice. And now we're going to switch to Yvonne.
Mm-hmm.
Who I adore. Yvonne, like myself, came from the world of dance into comedy. So we always had that in common. So we very physical people. And she is one of the people who really encourages others to buy property.
Yes.
In other countries.
And not to say do as I say, not as I do. She went and found a second home in a small town in Portugal. And
the only trick is that she has to get there by herself with her three kids.
And she speaks no Portuguese.
I do. I mean, I'm just sort of talking about my experience. So a few years ago, I bought a house in Portugal. And so my children and I go to Portugal every summer now.
Wow.
So I have become this mother who travels alone with three kids, which is insane. And I don't really drink that much anymore. So that's a problem. adding to it, I'm terrified to fly. So I've become this super drill sergeant and we go for like, you know, a month or two and stay in our little place in Portugal. It's in a small village on this really cool river. So what happened was I decided, remember the 2016 election?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was like, I'm done. I'm getting out of here. I was a Sanders supporter and I was like, I'm done. So I decided I was going to go on an improv tour of countries and find the country that I was going to retire in. Right. Ooh. Because I was like, I can teach, you know, like we could teach anywhere. Right. So I was like, I'll find people who are cool with letting me teach. Maybe I'll make some friends and I'll check out the country. So I made it through two countries and then I was like, this'll do. I made it through Iceland and then Portugal. And I was like, this'll do. So I got invited to do an improv festival in Portugal. I made friends with all the improvisers there who are wonderful people. And I was like, this place is beautiful and like nice and warm and affordable. Like, and they have good coffee. I'm in. So I bought this little house in the middle of nowhere. Like my Portuguese friends are like, what are you doing? I mean, this is okay. So there's like 10 full-time villagers
Wow.
And so I showed up. Okay, first of all, let me tell you about the travel. First of all, the travel, I'm a drill sergeant. So each kid gets one carry-on suitcase. That's it.
Nice.
That's all we bring.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Each carry-on suitcase for a month and a half or 2 months contains 3 outfits, 5 pair of underwear, a swimsuit, 3 pair of socks, an extra pair of shoes. We then put a fold-up backpack inside the bag and a blow-up pillow.
Sure.
There's an empty water bottle hanging on the bag that we fill up at the airport. And then any leftover spaces for electronics, all front pockets are for plain snacks that we share. That's it. Nice. That's all you get. If we need more clothes, we buy them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Done. So, and I still am always like, I sob at least one time on each trip, but usually through TSA, I'm sobbing. I'm like the crazy sobbing mother because it sucks for that. And I've invented something that I call, that I think should exist, but doesn't, called airport Sherpas.
Mm.
Like I want like a Sherpa to just get us through TSA. And I would pay somebody, I don't know, like $100 to get us through TSA because it's so horrible. And they always stop you for like the stroller. Like, oh, we think there's a bomb in the stroller. We have to stop. Yeah. And then like the kids are everywhere. Right. So anyway, we go there. There's nobody speaks English.
Right.
Right.
So when we first went, I bought my house and this guy came up to me and he was like talking to me in Portuguese, which is a challenging language. Like I'm learning it, but it's a challenging language. You know, it's a Latin-based romance language. So it sounds similar to other languages, but, you know, we don't speak it, right? So he's like talking to me with this sign that's like a dog with like a Ghostbusters thing through it. What do you call that? Like anti-dog?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. I was like, hi, I'm Yvonne. So a few minutes later, this other guy comes back and he speaks English. Okay. And so I was like, hi, I'm Yvonne. We're from the States. Nice to meet you. He's like, I know who you are. I was like, what do you mean you know who I am? He's like, you're the American. You're an actress. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I've known about you before you bought the house. It's a small village. And I was like, oh, okay. So like, I was like, is it creepy or is it cool? Yeah. But it was cool. And so the guy wanted me to put the no dog sign on my fence because it's right on this river and they don't want dogs on the river because they poop.
Sure.
Okay. The river is so clean that you can drink out of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah. So the dog poop would ruin that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I put the thing. Anyway, I ended up calling this guy with the sign because he doesn't speak any English except he can say, thank you very much. He can say that. So I started calling him Juicy because that's what I thought his name was. So for years now, I've called this man Juicy. Oh. His name is Jose.
Oh my gosh.
But like in Portuguese,
right,
it would be Jose, Jose. So I was like, oh, let's go to Juicy's house. So that's been my whole life in that country is just like word associations for people, right? So like the name, there's a very popular name there, which is Joao, but I couldn't remember that. Sure. So I had to go like, well, it's kind of like J-Wow from Jersey Shore. So that's what I think about every time I think of Joao. It's like, oh, J-Wow, I get it. And you just said Jo. So that's been the deal is that we go every summer and my kids hang out at the beach with a bunch of Portuguese people who don't speak any English. I mean, they don't speak any English. And we've sort of made that work.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we're going to, the goal is to retire there and open the studio in Portugal. So it'll be really cool.
Oh my gosh.
That's going to be the best 10 villager improv team.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, I don't know what that is. Like, what the hell do you do? And I'm just, and it's also weird to them because I'm a woman, by myself because my husband works in film. So, I mean, we never see him. He's a paramedic in movies. So we don't really see that guy. And so it's like, why is this woman by herself here? And I'm just like, I don't care. I'll just like assimilate. So we just, we just kind of hang out like in the village. Like people are like, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to Lisbon? I'm like, maybe, but we're kind of good. Just like hanging out and swimming in our little village with people who don't speak our language, which has been kind of great. The unfortunate thing is the flying, you know, the flying is really hard. So we came back 2 years. When was it that we were doing all the thing where we catch the people and keep them? I'm sorry. I'm trying to take away a water balloon from him that he keeps throwing against the wall. What's the thing where with the immigrants that we kept like catching them and putting them in cages? When was that?
It's got to be 2018.
Yeah. So yeah, we flew in 2018 and they stopped my daughter. They tried to separate me and my daughter at the border. And
no,
she didn't have a phone because I don't let my kids have phones. So she was in a different part of the plane than I was. And they were like, oh, you can't wait for her. Like move along. And I was like, what do you mean I can't wait for her? Like, yeah, you just have to leave her here getting into Miami. No. And it was like, while all that stuff was so heightened with the separation. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to get separated. She's going to freak out. Cause she was like, mom, I'll stay and get like the suitcases that the flight attendant has spread all over the plane. Well, I'll tell you what saved me cutting back to, it's a callback. The packing, the fold up backpack.
Yeah.
Remember I said we pack a fold up backpack?
Yeah.
In Lisbon, as we were flying out, there was a guy screaming because they had told him when he checked in that he could carry on this bag. But when he got to the gate, they said no. They said it was too heavy. And so, of course, he was screwed. And it was his kid's suitcase, right?
Oh, no.
So he was totally screwed. And he was like screaming and yelling at them. And he was clearly a native Spanish speaker. You know, he was like, you know, screaming at them. And so finally, they tried to, he was like, screw it. And he was going to pay the $100 to check the bag, but his credit card didn't work. Right.
Oh no.
So I was like, well, I have these fold up backpacks because I always bring them just in case like our bags are too heavy and they try to make us check them. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have these fold up backpacks. So he ended up unpacking all of his child's stuff in a check-in bag. It was a pretty big bag into my two little fold up backpacks. And they left the suitcase there, right?
Wow.
So, which sucked. So when I got to Miami, that guy saved me. Like I was there because you know where you're supposed to get the stroller on the tarmac where they like bring the stroller, but half the time they don't bring it?
Yeah.
Yep.
So they didn't have my stroller. So that's where I was standing waiting for my child with my two little ones. So I'm waiting for my older child. And they're like, you can't stand here. I was like, I'm not leaving. And they're like, we're going to arrest you. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to arrest me. I was like, well, you're going to have to arrest me because I'm not leaving my kid. So that guy who I had given my backpacks to like came to my defense and the girl was obviously like a native Spanish speaker in Miami. And he was like talking to her in Spanish, like, why can't she stand here? That's so absurd and ridiculous. And I was like starting to scream. I was like, I'm not leaving. They're trying to separate me from my child and I'm not leaving. Super embarrassing. But that guy saved me with my little fold-up backpacks.
Oh.
Amazing.
My God. And no, absolutely not. You cannot leave.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right. Because, I mean, she would have flipped out. She was like 13, 12, 13.
What?
Yeah. It was awful. So,
and they like, oh.
Yeah. They were going to arrest me.
That. Like.
So how dare, that, like.
Yeah.
They were going to arrest you for waiting for your child.
They said that I was a danger on the tarmac and that I had to, they were going to arrest me and that I should just leave my child and let her find me somewhere in the Miami airport. And I was like, she's not going to know where I am. And she's going to be carrying three suitcases. That was before I figured out this whole, I've gotten better as the years have gone by. I used to like bring bigger bags, you know, but at that point it was like, you know, she had two kind of big bags. Now it's really what I have now is really like a rolling backpack that I bring. But then it was more of like a suitcase, right?
Right.
So yeah. I was like, she's going to have multiple suitcases. She's not going to know where I am. She doesn't have a cell phone. And what if we get like really separated?
Yeah.
So I flipped out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That makes sense. But
The folding backpack saved the day because I had done a good favor for that guy. He was just like, I'm here for you, girl. Like,
absolutely. I'm done.
Yeah. So he bought me enough time until she got off the airplane by arguing with the ground agent. Wow. So that was good. Yeah. It's a lot though. Traveling with a bunch of kids is a lot by yourself. Like, it's really exhausting. And then of course I'm terrified.
Okay, if I'm separated from my child by anyone at an airport,
oh my goodness,
I would become crazy.
It would be absolutely out of control, and you would end up in jail.
I probably would.
I cannot see that happening in any other way than
I got some fierce mama bear.
Yeah.
Game. And so, oh my gosh, I would lose my mind if my child was separated and they wouldn't let me wait for my child. No. Okay. Yeah. No.
And I'm still like baffled as to how that happened. At the same time, I have been carrying an extra backpack. So there's that.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for reviewing, sharing, liking. We hope to see you at Funny Parents Live on October 17th, 5 p.m. at QED Astoria here in New York City. And if you want those socks, please join our mailing list at funnyparentspodcast.com by Halloween and get those socks on November 1st.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.